This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Along with anchorman Paul Rasmussen and St. Francis' body moved to St. Peter's Basilica. And just outside, tens of thousands of people gathered in St. Peter's Square. CBS's Tina Kraus is there.
This is a poignant moment in the wake of Pope Francis's death as he returns to the people. St. Peter's Basilica will stay open tonight and tomorrow until midnight to allow as many people as possible to pass by his coffin and say their personal goodbyes.
Mourners watched the body of Pope Francis make its final journey from the papal residence to St. Peter's Basilica this morning in a solemn procession led by cardinals. Tens of thousands of the faithful are expected to pay their respects as he lies in state through Friday evening. The Pope's funeral now set for Saturday morning. Last night, crowds in St. Peter's Square gathered for the Rosary prayer, led by the 91-year-old cardinal who will also oversee the pontiff's funeral.
I can feel the loss of the Pope.
Rosary prayers were also held Tuesday at Rome's Basilica of St. Mary Major, where preparations are underway for the Pope's burial there.
After this, it's going to be a very special place for all the pilgrims of the world.
Many world leaders say they plan to attend the Pope's funeral, including Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky, Britain's Prince William, and President Trump.
As the world prepares to bid farewell to a leader many have described as transformational, cardinals get ready to choose a new head of the Catholic Church. Already, several possible contenders have come to light. Colombian tourist Maria Marsilva says she hopes the next pope will be like Francis, someone who will bring positive changes.
The Vatican has revealed some touching last words from Pope Francis from the day before his death. He was here in St. Peter's Square preparing to take a ride in the Pope Mobile. He told his personal nurse, "Thank you for bringing me back to the square." And then he asked him, "Do you think I can manage it?" This medic, who the Pope had complete confidence in, reassured him. So the Pope took what would be his last ride in his Pope Mobile. He spent time, about 15 minutes, blessing babies, waving to crowds. Clearly he was suffering on Easter Sunday, but in his heart must have been so happy to be back with the people. Crowds chanted, "Viva il Papa, long live the Pope." Now those cheers have turned to tears for so many as they're being forced to say goodbye to him.
CBS's Tina Kraus in St. Peter's Square.
Larry, I don't know if you've noticed it, but the media coverage of what's transpiring at the Vatican in the last several days has been overwhelmingly positive.
It has, and it's in that regard been
a refreshing shift.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, the beauty of having a chance for the Pope basically to say goodbye on Easter Sunday, that's pretty incredible. And then what happens next? The funeral will be Saturday morning in Rome, the Vatican.
And our time, it's going to start at 4 a.m. out here.
And then after that, the conclave in the Sistine Chapel with at least 135 cardinals who are under the age of 80 will gather and they will vote until they elect a new pope.
They vote four times a day, and they keep voting until one person gets more than two-thirds of the votes.
And around the world, a strange situation that's gone viral.
Oh, is this the twin story?
Yes. A carjacking in Australia had reporters assigned to cover it out on the streets looking for witnesses. And that's when Queensland News 7 found two eyewitnesses who were identical twins. And during the interview, Bridget and Paula Powers, who were dressed in matching outfits, spoke in unison for a full minute, uninterrupted, at the same time.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum, and he went up there, and
he was coming back down towards us.
And he goes,
that's both of them.
Run, he's got a gun. our heart started to pound, and I said, oh, mum, where's mum? And poor mum was.
Do you believe that?
Unbelievable.
You should see the video. I sent it to you.
They must be as cute as they can be, huh?
We got to post that. Yeah, and they're wearing bunny, like, pajama-type tops.
How old are they?
They're, I would guess, in their 50s, 60s.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And look,
and they're still talking.
Ran into the bush behind the fence.
And they're not even looking at each other. It's like they're just talking at the same time, saying the same thing.
That is remarkable.
Actually incredible. That's your viral video of the day. Oxford Athletic Club, which is a pretty incredible place in the Wexford area, Pittsburgh's premier health and fitness destination, known for state-of-the-art facilities, elite fitness classes, community dedicated to wellness, and swim camp coming brand new this summer. And they're also supporting the Rush to Crush Cancer. And it's Awareness Week at Oxford. And the big ride event comes up in May. But they have asked me to ride for 24 hours on a stationary bike. And I have negotiated down to just 1 hour Friday after the show. But this is a way to show that you support the efforts that the UPMC Hillman Cancer Center with Rush to Crush Cancer. And we do this in memory of their late owner, who was a personal friend, Brian Shanahan, who passed of pancreatic cancer. RushToCrushCancer.org. We hope you'll join the ride. Yep, take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. It's a great resource. And I'll tell you why. Because you also have a chance to let us hear your voice. And this is really cool technology. So we're having this Democratic primary debate on the morning of May 8th at 9:30. And we want questions from you for the candidates, incumbent Mayor Ed Gainey, and also Corey O'Connor, who is currently the Allegheny County Controller. And what you can do is, once you download the free Odyssey app, you'll see a microphone on the KDKA page. And all you do is touch it and record your question and hit the button again, and you're done. So if you get a chance, if you already have the app, check it out. It's really cool, and we can download the audio so we actually have you asking the questions. And, Paul, that's pretty cool technology, actually.
I like it. Another debate last night between the two on television.
I saw that. I happened to see that. That one was on Channel 4 last week.
What was your takeaway?
Pretty much the same of what they did last week on Channel 11, what we heard from Corey O'Connor yesterday. We had him in studio, and we've had Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in studio, and pretty much the same, you know, at this point.
Did they focus on issues, or was there more back and forth over the racism claims?
It wasn't quite as contentious as it was last week, and that the new development was, obviously, this flyer that was put out by this organization.
The Political Action Committee.
Yeah.
Yeah, on behalf of the O'Connor campaign.
Well, it wasn't a coordinated effort.
Right, it's their thing. O'Connor's campaign didn't have any direct input, but still, yeah, those things could cause friction.
And it did. It's contentious, but at some point, people are going to have to pick. and 5 weeks away from the election yesterday. So we'll have an opportunity to have that conversation with them May 8th.
Well, you'll be well prepared. Who else is going to be in there with you to help facilitate?
Lenny McAllister.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and then we'll also have kind of a pre and post. Michael Bartley will be part of that as well. And we'll have our team assembled. And that's May 8th, and I'm looking forward to it, actually.
It's going to be a big day.
You know, the takeaway is both these men, I think, are Pittsburghers that love this city. And the question is who the voters will feel will run the city better in moving into the future. Is it the incumbent or is it the challenger? So hopefully by then we can get to more specifics on, you know, what you're actually going to do. In Corey O'Connor's case, why do you want to do this job?
Yeah, it's remarkable to me to be covering this kind of news here in Pittsburgh, where the primary election is actually more interesting than and has more import than the general election. Generally speaking, when's the last time a Republican ran for mayor in Pittsburgh and did well? It's been, I can't remember how long.
Yeah, and that said, we'll also talk to the Republican candidates before the primary. One of those, Tony Moreno, who's been very vocal, ran for mayor before.
As a Democrat.
Yeah, because he got the write-in. But you're right. It goes back to, I think, the 30s since the last time there was a Republican mayor in the city of Pittsburgh. Sleep benefits. Aaron, since you took this job, you know all too well now the nightmare that we live every day when the alarm goes off. Paul's case, 2 a.m.
Right.
I'm at 3 a.m. What are you?
I'm around 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You know what I've noticed, by the way, with the time switch, is that my usual 7 to 7.5 hours of sleep is now down to 6.5.
Well, that would explain.
I just don't get ready for bed until my inner clock says it's time.
Well, it's hard, too, when it's light out.
It's still light, right?
People are living their lives, and we have to, you know.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Turn in early.
You know, close every curtain in the house and pretend you're, you know, hibernating.
Well, so there's true.
A new study out for teenagers. If you can get your kid to sleep more, a new study says their brains will be sharper.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
Yes, I believe that.
I mean, the brain is still developing with teens. Yeah, they need to sleep,
they
right?
They say it's not fully wired until you're 25.
Right.
So, Aaron, you just got wired.
I'm fresh.
You are. And now this lack of sleep will take away all that you've gained. So they followed the sleep habits of over 3,000 adolescents. Researchers found that those who slept the longest outperformed the others on reading, vocabulary, and problem solving. Scientists say it's because we consolidate our memories during sleep, and that's what strengthens our cognitive abilities. Mm. But more so in teens in those developmental years.
And could there not be a more powerful argument for starting high school at a later hour as a result?
Yeah, I agree with that. And no phones while you're in class.
Our first classes when I was in high school were 7 a.m.
Oh, ooh, wow.
That is early.
Yep.
I remember.
Talk about being dead on your feet.
Getting right on a bus. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard, anchorman Paul Rasmussen, our producer Aaron Ferragonio, who fared well in her first ever Odyssey One Thing Earth Day extravaganza. She cleaned up the rivers, pulled junk cars out, tires, everything. You good?
I survived.
Yeah. It was a collective effort. Meanwhile, Paul had to continue to slave over a hot microphone through the day.
Yes, I'm excluded from these participating in these things because I have to work.
Hold down the fort.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is getting a lot of attention, this American Lung Association State of the Air Report.
This is our top story coming up at 7.
Yeah, it's 26th annual release, and it's a little disappointing. We've heard before that the air in this region has been compromised for many decades, a century. Yeah, but we thought over the years we were going to get better and better.
You know, we've been getting bad grades from the American Lung Association on this for pretty much every year that I've been paying attention.
So in the report, it reveals that Pittsburgh, Weirton, and Steubenville, which they consider the metro area of Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia, we call it the tri-state, is ranked 16th worst in the country for daily particle pollution, placing it back on the list of the 25 most polluted cities in the country. It remains on the 25 worst list year-round, and this ranking of 12th nationwide for a measure of the 2023's wildfire smoke, apparently that had an influence. And the worst county is Allegheny County in terms of the pollutants. So, I mean, what do you do with this information? The State of the Air report also looked at levels of ozone, smog, the air pollutant affecting the largest number of people in the U.S., and this is the 90th worst nation for ozone pollution. So we actually fare a little better in that to places like Los Angeles, where you've seen those videos. We're in the basin along the Pacific Ocean. There always seems to be like a haze and the pollution of LA, which has been legendary. So we'll sort through this. We do have with us Rich Fitzgerald every Wednesday on our 7 o'clock hour. And since Rich, in his new role as executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, which embodies 10 counties in the city, I'm sure this is something that they have discussed on collectively. What can we do?
One thing that would make sense to me is an upgrade at the U.S. Steel facilities in the Mon Valley, which would happen
if
in that merger with Nippon Steel, right? They would be building,
right? And the governor,
new furnaces, I think, is the point of all of that, right?
Josh Shapiro said he had a conversation with the president over this past weekend to talk about the attack on the governor's mansion, but they also spent significant time talking about the U.S. Steel deal. Is there a way to find out a solution to protect the jobs here in the Mon Valley and at the same time get those upgrades you're talking about?
I know that the Allegheny County Health Department, Larry, continually, when they put out their Code Orange Air Quality Action Day alerts, you know, they point out that it's the Mon Valley where the air quality is of the greatest concern. And that's where they're advising people to stay indoors and the elderly and children not to be out doing anything, not exerting themselves, that kind of thing. So it makes you wonder, I mean, if U.S. Steel were to conclude this merger and close, and then Nippon Steel got involved, and they've, I think they've even offered to double the investment they were going to make in the upgrades for the plants. Well, then maybe that would make a big dent in our air quality problem.
So there may be a significant contribution to a solution if they can find a way to make this deal work for everybody. So we'll see, and we'll keep you posted. Other big story has always been, since it's been discussed, are the tariffs and its impact on the economy and people feeling like they're not making progress financially. CBS's Erica Brown has the latest.
The International Monetary Fund is warning President Trump's tariffs will slow down the global and U.S. economies.
U.S. dollar fell to its lowest level in 3 years. Usually when you have tariffs, the dollar rises. This tells us that the international community is selling America, and that is not good for any of us.
But stocks pushed higher on remarks Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent made in a closed-door meeting. CBS News confirmed he told investors a trade war with China is unsustainable. Bessent says he expects the situation to de-escalate, even though those trade talks have yet to begin.
But ultimately, they have to make a deal, because otherwise, they're not going to be able to deal in the United States, and we want them involved.
The White House also defended President Trump's attacks on Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, who Trump called a, quote, major loser for not lowering interest rates.
The president believes that they have been making moves and taking action in the name of politics rather in the name of what's right for the American economy.
Later Tuesday in the Oval Office, the president responded to questions about whether he was looking at ways to fire Powell.
No, I have no intention of firing him. I would like to see him be a little more active in terms of his idea to lower interest rates. This is a perfect time to lower interest rates. If he doesn't, is it the end? No.
Last week, Powell warned President Trump's tariffs are likely to drive up prices and slow economic growth. Erica Brown, CBS News, the White House.
So we'll keep you posted each and every day here on Katie.
The Goldberg, Persky & White News Desk, a grade of F in the American Lung Association's latest air quality report.
Pittsburgh is number 12 for cities most polluted by annual particle matter, and Pittsburgh is number 16 for the cities most polluted by daily particle matter.
That's the voice of KDK-TV's Megan Shin reading from that report. Little disappointing, but what do we do? We're going to ask Rich Fitzgerald about that coming up.
A state senator, Larry, has introduced a bill to more than double Pennsylvania's minimum wage to $15 an hour, and it's been a long time since it's been increased.
It's probably one of the things that people, you know, you hear about minimum wage, but if you ask somebody what is minimum wage, they wouldn't know.
No, it's $7.25 right now.
Right.
And it hasn't changed in 19 years.
Yeah, so it's time for a change. However, we did realize during COVID and when there was a demand for workers, places had to pay more to get them to come.
And out at Penn State, they've been doing some work on Beaver Stadium, Larry. Like, for example, putting in a new press box, and they're changing some of the seating areas, adding some more areas in the concession areas, the concourses, etc. Well, this is creating an opportunity. What is it? Memorabilia. They're going to be selling off things like seats and the Lionhead, for example. I mean, this is big stuff.
Yeah, that, you know, when you get 109,000 people to go to your stadium, yeah, I would imagine there's some demand for
it's
memorabilia.
Going to be sold in an auction that starts next week.
Are you going to bid on the Lion?
I don't have the change for that.
Yeah, that's going to take somebody that's really dedicated and filthy rich.